the rest of the story. You knew when recently the president got Congress to beef up our forces in the Mediterranean? And yet, you know that hostage takers in the area have continued to defy the United States. You also knew there was a lone military man working behind the scenes devising a plan of dubious legality. And I presume you assume that the president knew nothing about it. Well, maybe you'd better hear the rest of the story. There was a secret meeting in the White House, a meeting between this gung-ho intelligence officer and the president of the United States. And the Secretary of State was also present. But when he, the Secretary of State, realized where the discussion was headed, he backed off. He said, "I don't want to have known too much if the plan goes haywire." And he left the room. The president said, "All right, you're out." But now the president is alone with this intelligence officer. "What's the bottom line?" the president wants to know, and the intelligence officer appeared grim. "Congress had no idea what was happening," he said, "and must never find out." Even generally, the concept was incredible, the diversion of government money for a foreign policy objective which did not have congressional approval. The specific idea was even more fantastic, to divert government money to overthrow a foreign government. The president heard it all with his own ears. There was no doubting his co-conspirator's intentions, nor his own yes or no authority in the matter. He, the president, could have declared it wrong to circumvent Congress, could have ended the adventurism before it began, but instead, his position during the secret meeting was, what Congress doesn't know won't hurt Congress. All that mattered was that the hijacking and the hostage-taking had to stop, that the Middle Eastern terrorists return the American hostages they had taken, that enough money could be secured to ensure the overthrow of one hostile government. The president had every confidence in his co-conspirator. The latter was aggressive on foreign policy issues, generally favored military intervention as a solution to international problems. He was well known and admired in the State Department, but now for the duration of this covert operation, the intelligence officer must distance himself from the State Department, lest his cryptic activities attract attention. The president assured him that sufficient money and arms would be at his disposal, and the intelligence officer proceeded with the outrageous plan. 175 years ago, the foreign government they sought to overthrow, the country taking American hostages, was the one we now call Libya. Then, as now, Congress was refusing what it called obnoxious interference in the affairs of a foreign power. And the 19th century equivalent of Ollie North was a gung-ho army captain named William Eaton, who subsequently became a national hero. I said subsequently he became a national hero. Though it was he who had conspired with President Thomas Jefferson to circumvent the Congress and then to use the taxpayers' money to purchase arms, thereby to force Libya to surrender. And the Muslim fundamentalists, as they were called in those days, the Muslims who had been hijacking and hostage-taking for centuries, they stopped abruptly because the price was too high. Now you know the rest of the story.